Sweet, sweet sister friend, I am so excited about season 2 of the Laced with Grace Fully Embraced podcast. I'm so excited to dive deeper into our relationship with Christ together, deeper into our love of our bodies and being grateful for the temple that God has given us to care for, to nourish, to exercise, to work out, for worship, and not just weight loss, and to really, really focus and make Him the center and the foundation, the motivation of our fitness journey. Because I truly believe if we make Him the foundation of our fitness journey, it becomes much more doable. It becomes less overwhelming. It becomes much more fulfilling. And I'm excited to grow in this with you. Let's get it. Let's go. Hey, hey. So today is kind of exciting. Makes my heart kind of happy. I'm getting to see my mama for a couple weeks of not seeing her, but she's actually going to be the guest on the podcast today. Hey, Mom.
Hey, hey.
We do not live like super close to each other right now. It's been that way ever since I got married. And so it's just always special when we do get to see each other and she gets to see the babies. And today I just wanted to have her on just to like have casual conversation. Like we're having coffee with you. And also to give like a perspective of health and fitness. Cause I know that there's quite a few of you that aren't like in that young mom stage anymore. Like maybe you are empty nesters or, your kids are teenagers or
we're more mature,
mature. And so I kind of wanted to give some perspective like on that end of things. And, I'm just going to kind of see how the Holy Spirit takes this conversation.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it. We're both kind of like, she's a little under the weather with her voice. I'm a little under the weather because I just worked 24 hours in 2 days, night shift. And so I'm still half dead. But we're going to try to trudge through this and have some fun and laughs and joy and truth and maybe tears. I don't know, wherever the Holy Spirit takes it. And it may not be that. I don't know. But Mom, can you tell us a little bit about like what your perspective on health and fitness used to be compared to what it is now, like how that journey kind of like played out for you?
Oh gosh. Shout out to all my yo-yo diet friends. Hey.
Hey girl, hey.
Let's see. I've done the yo-yo diet thing. I've done the Weight Watchers and I've done I did a program through our local hospital at one point, where you paid a lot of money, but you got a lot of good guidance and helping with learning about weight management and that sort of thing. There was no exercise involved. There was a meal replacement involved for 2 of your 3 meals a day. And at one point I was eating 900 calories a day.
Oh gosh.
And only
side note, don't do that to your body.
No. And only 1 meal a day. Now, the positive part of it was that I dropped 40 pounds in 6 months. The negative side of it was as soon as I stopped drinking those meal replacements and started, you know, trying to do it on my own.
Did you have any guidance whatsoever on like how to prepare food, like how to eat healthier? Or was it just
every once in a while they would throw in like a recipe on a snack or something, but it was very ketosis based. The whole program was very ketosis based. So you had to keep yourself in ketosis all the time.
Yeah.
And like I said, there was no exercise.
Did it even taste good?
The shake wasn't bad. I mean, you just kind of got used to it. But, and drank a certain amount of water every day, which that was a positive because that created a water habit. But as soon as I dropped the program and said I can do this on my own now because I didn't want to spend any more money on it, slowly but surely I started putting weight back on. I've never gained the whole 40 back, but I gained a portion of it back. And now, you know, now in my late 50s, that is the challenge that I face because this whole menopause, late 50s,
yeah,
this season of life thing is a whole new ball of wax. So
I'm not looking forward.
Well, you know, the key is to have a plan. The key is to know what works and what doesn't work for you. I think in any and all situations, when it comes to health and fitness and wellness, if you go into something blind with no guidance and no learning or knowledge.
Was it all overwhelming to you?
Yes, it was. It was kind of overwhelming. But it was also, some of it was very positive. It did help me build up back up my self-esteem. I will say, you're probably going to kill me for saying this.
Was it temporary self-esteem?
Yeah. You're going to kill me for saying this. So if I need someone out there in podcast land to commit to claiming the body, but there was a period of time where I remember specifically, I'll never forget this. And this was during a time when you were struggling with some things of your own. Mm-hmm. But I remember a time when you looked at me one night and you said, "Mom, you can't lose any more weight because you're going to be skinnier than me." So then I had to battle the inner voice in my head.
How horrible of me to say that to you.
Well, you were a child, but, but I had to deal with the inner voice inside me saying, "Don't damage your child. Don't damage your child." So there was a voice inside me that was saying, "You're doing great. You're doing a great job." But there was another voice that was battling that saying, "Be careful. Don't damage your child. Don't damage your child. She's broken right now. Don't do any more damage." So yeah, that was a struggle.
So you mentioned that let me back up. So I'm going to try to not go too far down that road yet. But like you did that and you've done Weight Watchers. Was weight something that you always struggled with?
No, not always. When I had my babies, I didn't have any problem dropping baby weight. And there were times when I was exercising, times when I was not. But around the time I think that I hit like 50, things started to change. Shout out to all my 50-somethings. I feel like when you hit a certain age, everything changes. Mm-hmm. And what you used to be able to do to remedy the issue no longer works. Like so your body responds to it completely
differently. Then you're like fighting against it all the time.
It's like you're fighting something that you're never going to win the battle of. So you have to like become creative and adjust. And I had reached a point where I was just kind of sailing through life thinking, okay, this is it. I'm in my 50s now. It really doesn't matter. I don't need to worry about it. I'll just be a fluffy 50-year-old. And
I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and it was talking about, it was a 50-something gal, and she had said, you know, our society and our culture has just made it the norm.
Yep.
That you're overweight, you don't feel good, you're tired. That's just the norm once you hit a certain age. She said, you don't have to age. Yes, the number still goes up, but like we don't have to feel that way. Well, there are ways to not feel that way. There are ways to not just group in with the norm.
It's even, I mean, if you go in a department store and you go in the different departments where women, you go in the juniors, it looks a certain way. You go in the women's section, it looks a certain way. Mm-hmm. But there's even a section in the women's section that starts to look like, no offense, but it starts to look like, you know, granny clothes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ready for granny clothes yet.
I'm not going to grow up. Like, I just decided.
Well, we already know that's true.
I just decided I'm just going to be a weirdo the rest of my life.
Like, and I decided that I'm not going to wear granny clothes if I don't want to wear granny clothes. I'm going to dress how I want to dress and how it feels good to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to wear short shorts. I'm not going to wear Daisy Dukes, and I'm not going to wear mini skirts. But I am going to wear cute things because it makes me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to dress appropriate for my age, but I'm not.
And your personality.
Yeah. I'm sassy. I'm not going to dress like I'm tame.
Yeah.
For heaven's sakes, what is the point of that?
Tame. Oh my word. So you did all of that. You realized, you know, that was like a temporary satisfaction mm-hmm. for you. That was a temporary self-esteem. And so what did you do to transition? Like, what did anything change since then? Like what has changed since then?
Well, yeah.
Mindset wise, you body wise.
You bugged me ad nauseum. To start. It's like one of those children that's constantly pulling on your sweater. Mom.
Oh my gosh. That's such a good analogy.
It is. It's a good visual. And I would say yes. And then I'd do it for 2 weeks. And then I would.
What's it?
I would exercise. I would drink a shake once in a while. I would, you know, try to put some nutrients into my body. And then it would just fizzle. And I didn't do it for the right reasons. I was doing it just to appease you. And
Which, by the way, I knew, like, deep down I knew that mom's just doing this to help me. She's just doing this to appease me.
And then that last time, right before that last time you asked me, we talked about it, I had gone to the doctor. And I'm on like four different maintenance medications for blood pressure and thyroid and cholesterol. And it's, most of it's, some of it's hereditary. But the doctor looked at me that day and said, we're going to have to start talking about what we can do with the with your weight a little bit. And I thought, oh my gosh. And when I couldn't, when I could, I've told this story 100 times, but it's true. When I couldn't get on the trampoline and jump with Dax without running out of breath within like, you know, 2.5 minutes.
Just for reference, Dax is my oldest little one.
And I thought, this is not the grandma that I want to be. Yeah. I don't want to be the grandma that's sitting in the lawn chair watching the children play. Because inside me, I'm still the person who is playing.
Yeah.
So it scared me a little bit. And I envisioned what my life was going to look like going forward if I didn't make a change. So then that's when I decided something needs to change. And I wasn't really, you know, tuned into the whole mindset thing and everything so much, but I knew something had to change. So that's
when... That was your trigger point.
That was the yes that I said where I actually meant it. And after 2 weeks of being faithful to my own journey and saying yes to myself, it helped me realize this is what I need in my life, because now I'm starting to feel different and I feel different about myself. And when I look in the mirror, even if I don't look any different, I see a light in my eyes and I see energy in my soul, and it was different. And then a few weeks after that, then I got to the point where I actually had a desire to help other people feel that same way, because I knew how I had felt and I knew how scary that was. So
another really cool thing, like side note about mom and I with our fitness journeys, is actually when I had my business for like that 6.5 year period, when I was partnered with Body, they're previously known as Beachbody, mom was actually one of my clients, but now the roles have kind of reversed and I am one of her customers and I go to her when I'm like, hey, with this new program's coming out, can I have this? Like, how do I get a hold of this? Like, what is this? Like, I'm asking her questions and she's helping me, and I'm getting to see her help other women her age, other women that are younger than her. I'm getting to see her mentor and guide other people in their journeys as far as them mentoring people. So it's really cool to see that, you know, for yes, to nauseam, I bothered her. Not because I just wanted to make a sale, but for it was my mom. Like I wanted
nausea.
I wanted to see her feel healthy and feel good. And it wasn't just about, mom, I don't want you to look this way. Like, I want you to be around with us for a while. When I started having kids, like, I want my mama around. I want their grandma around and be able to play with them. And when she told me about the doctor's office, it's really cool to see that, like, now the roles are reversed. She's got her own business and I'm one of her clients now, and we're kind of supporting each other in that way through mother-daughter health and fitness. And not just fitness, but like, mom's always been, my mom and my grandma were my spiritual people. Like, they're the ones that taught me, my mom has taught me compassion and grace beyond reason. And what the true love of Jesus is. She's the one that got us in church. She's the one that helped me build that relationship with Christ and made it about relationship, not religion. And so she's been just such a big part of my faith walk. And I'm forever grateful that, you know, she helped me develop that relationship with Jesus early, early, early on in my life.
Side note, when she says early, she means, when she was like in second or third grade, the little Bible studies that she would lead in our basement on Friday afternoons with her little school friends, complete with sticker charts and worksheets for Bible verses.
That's so funny that you say that, because actually when I was doing a live, I think it was last week, in my Lace with Grace Fully Embrace community, I actually was thinking about, you know, having the neighborhood Bible studies and some of my best friends and my cousins, like I would be so excited. And it kind of like took me back there. Like, this has always been a part of me, like this whole, like, not leadership necessarily, but community and gathering and talking about Jesus and that being a part of who I am. Like, it made me smile and smirk a little bit.
You just had moments in your life where, like, then you were completely like locked into it. And then you've had moments in your life where the season has changed and you have forgotten whose you were.
Yeah.
And luckily we have a gracious God who patiently stands there and waits. And
he
doesn't,
always take us, takes us
doesn't
back.
Disappear.
He's always there.
He constantly is right there, and he's always waiting because he knows that the opportunity for us to come back is forever.
I don't think we've ever had this conversation. I mean, throughout my younger years when I was in counseling off and on, and then in college when I was in counseling off and on, you mentioned things to me, but I don't think we've ever actually talked about, like, what was it like as being my mom, seeing your child? I guess what is your lens, or what did you see in me, or through the situation of me having struggles with my eating, me having struggles with my exercise? Like, what were some things that you were concerned about, or that you saw that maybe it's a different perspective than what I dealt with? Because if I've mentioned this before on the podcast, and if you watch me at all on my social media, I share my testimony about having exercise bulimia. I share my testimony about having a very unhealthy relationship with my body, hating who I was, hating every ounce of my body, trying to burn off everything I possibly could, trying to make myself throw up, but I couldn't, so I would just exercise and run. And I used a lot of the emotional baggage I was struggling with, and I used it to beat my body through exercise. How did all of that affect you, and, like, what did you see through all of that? Like, can you talk a little bit about that?
You know, there is nothing more difficult than knowing without a shadow of a doubt that your child has been created for great things and has been created by a creator who created her perfectly for those great things. And she's the only person who doesn't see it. Everyone around her sees it. Everyone around her acknowledges it. And there is a feeling of fear and sadness and anger and helplessness that you really can't describe. There's nothing scarier than watching your child self-destruct, and nothing that you do is helping. And
that can be so frustrating.
Every single day, having her look at you and say, "You don't know me, and you don't know what's in my head, and you don't know what's in my heart. So don't act like you know." And it wasn't because I hadn't experienced the things that you were. I mean, I think as teenage women, we tend to all go through moments in our life where we struggle with our self-image, and we question, you know, if we're good enough and whatnot. But for whatever reason, you know, you dove really, really dark and deep into that space, yeah, during that season of your life. And forcing you to go to counseling and having you hate my guts for
it. Oh, I hated it.
And forcing you to talk to people and having you hate my guts for it. And
but you did it out of all so much love.
Yeah. The constant, the arguments and the fights and just not understanding how I could help you see what God sees and what I see.
What were some of the behaviors and, like, things that I did that really worried you? With exercise and nutrition specifically?
You exercised constantly. I mean, literally, I don't care how much you barely ate anything, but you exercised constantly. And I don't think that you could have consumed enough calories in a day to compensate for the amount of exercise.
There's no way.
Because, like, you would go down and you would run for hours, and you would come back and tell me how many laps that you had ran around the track down at the college. And I'm like, I don't even know how to respond to that because it's insane. And the moment I would say anything like that, you know, because I'm not a real gentle, delicate person with my words usually. So those conversations were
she
pretty
is
hostile.
Beauty, she is grace.
Yeah. But I don't usually mince words really well or put a gentle spin on things. So there were a lot of arguments because I felt like I was beating my head against the wall. Mm-hmm. Because you would not listen to me.
Well, because we're both super stubborn.
And I was the stupidest person on the planet. And how could I possibly know anything about food or fitness? Because I didn't. Because I wasn't a licensed, certified, educated scholar in those areas. And so I was just your dumb mom that...
You were just a loving mom that was trying to protect her child. That's all.
Yeah. But it's really, really hard to watch your child self-destruct. And to have people come to you and say, aren't you worried? It's like, yes, I'm worried, but what else am I
was
going to
do? Let me ask. Grandma was one of those people.
Oh, heck yeah.
So I lived with my grandmother in college, and I'm sure my grandma was all over my mom constantly.
Well, and then I would feel like people thought I wasn't doing enough because I wasn't doing something other than what I was doing. And so there was this
constant... What are you going to do, force feed me?
There was this constant... No, because I knew if I started doing stupid stuff like that, you'd just start throwing up and stuff, and then we'd just add one more layer to the problem we were having.
Yeah.
So I had to completely and totally trust that God would have his hand on it. Completely and totally. And that at some point, because he created you for great things, he was going to grab a hold of you and you were going to let him. You weren't going to run the other direction. You were going to point your feet towards Jesus again, and you were going to latch onto that hand that was reaching out for you incessantly.
I just keep thinking back to the statement you made about me saying something to you about how dare you don't get any smaller, don't lose any more weight because
you'll be smaller than
you'll be smaller than me. And that's heartbreaking because first of all, that's such a like jealous, hardened heart thing to say. I mean, I know I was a teenager or whatever, but like, I feel like women even older now though act like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an older generation or younger, like we're constantly looking like, as women, I feel like the comparison game is still strong. Like,
well, and you also used to do this thing with your eyes, and we've talked about this before, and women do this to women all the time, but you used to do it to me a lot where you would eye me up and down every time I walked in the room. I'd walk in a room and you would look head to toe a couple of times like you were scanning, almost like you had some sort of special vision or something that you were scanning, like what my fat ratio was and what my BMI was. And I just felt so self-conscious, but I thought I don't dare to say anything because I don't want to sabotage, you know, any growth or progress that you've made.
It's a very selfish time of me too, because like here you were like feeling good about yourself.
And I couldn't, because
then it would cause issues for me.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I forgive you.
Okay. I'm glad we're past that.
Vulnerable moment that we just had in front of America.
Oh my word. So where do you see, as far as your fitness journey goes now, where do you see this going? Like, what is the goal? Like, what specifically do you feel God is leading you in your fitness? Like, where do you feel like he's leading you in it?
I think he has. I mean, I've been doing this for 3 years now. And I know my life is better if I get out of bed in the morning and move my butt.
Yeah,
I know it is, without a shadow of a doubt. Do I do it every single day? No, because one of the things that is...
By the way, let me step in a second. Sorry to interrupt. But this is someone who, like, literally did not want anything to do with exercise. She had no discipline, really. I mean, with her eating and with habits, like, that was not important. That was not something that you usually had any interest in whatsoever. When she says I nauseatingly approached her, she meant it, because she didn't have any interest in it.
No, I didn't. Oh, no, I didn't. But then once I did, I couldn't imagine my life without it. Like, my morning routine is pretty well locked and loaded.
Would you say that people have to have a morning routine, or do you think if it works for them, they'd be able to do it other ways?
I think the important thing is not when you do it or what it looks like. It has to be yours, and you have to claim it. It can't be something that you just read on a piece of paper and you force yourself to do. You have to create your own routine and your own plan, and then you have to stick to it. Because if you can't make that commitment to yourself, you can't make solid commitments to other people.
Mm, that's good.
I mean, seriously. And you may be a morning workout person. You may be an evening workout person. I started as an evening. I couldn't imagine getting up in the morning and working out. And that was really hard for me, though, because I would come home from work at the end of the day and I just didn't feel like doing it because I was tired and I was...
But then what did you feel like after you completed those things?
Working out? Oh, yeah. I felt really good.
Like, complete sense of accomplishment and achievement?
Yes.
Confidence booster?
And I will never forget... The first program I ever completed, the first 28-day program, and I will never forget the first hard, long-term, challenging program that I completed. I actually had a celebratory party complete with balloons for myself and videotaped it at the end of that program. Because I was so proud of myself and I felt so accomplished and so empowered. And I thought, yes, yes, I can do hard things. I just did that.
Yes.
When you finish something and you hear that voice in your head and you say, I just did that. That is one of the best feelings mm-hmm. in the entire universe. And then it doesn't, when it gets to the point where you don't even care if anybody else knows, just the satisfaction.
That's where you know you've made it.
That's where you know you've locked and loaded your plan and your routine. I got sidetracked this summer because I lost my first job ever. I've never lost a job before in my, 100 years of life.
And what do you know? Stress. Stress came, right?
Yeah. And I felt diminished and defeated and unwanted and unnecessary. And that messed with my head really bad, which then, which sidelined my mindset work, which then sidelined my nutrition, which then sidelined my workout routines.
Isn't it funny how that all started all internally? Connected. Yep. And it started internally.
Yep. And it's all connected. I mean, if you don't do it all, I'm not saying that you can't have success if you don't do this, 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 and this. But I am telling you, if you work on mindset and you work on nutrition and you work on
the internal
soul work and the fitness work, you will notice a huge difference in your life for the better.
So I don't mean to go back to me because I want to come back to this.
No, that's fine.
Too.
I keep rabbit holing us.
That's okay. It's all right. That's what we kind of do.
Yeah.
Kind of sporadic. And crazy and chaos. I mean, I'm the mom of chaos.
Yes, you are.
I am the mom of chaos. When I was going through my struggling times in the eating disorder, exercise disorder area, when did you see a shift in me? Like, what do you notice or remember anything where you saw a positive shift? Like, you're like, okay, we're not going back down that. Like, what did that feel like for you? Or what did that look like for you? Like, when did you notice that?
It felt like someone took the 50-pound weight off my chest. Because as a mom, even if you don't have control over the situation that your kids might be going through, you still take on the responsibility of the emotional side of it.
Motherly nature.
So if your child is struggling or fighting something that they're losing a battle with and you can't do anything to help that, you take on that failure and that devastation and that all of those emotions. So when you get to see them thrive their way out of it, it's like someone takes that weight of grief off your chest. It's a big moment.
I was listening to a sermon, actually. It was this weekend at work while I was walking laps trying to stay awake in the middle of the night. I was listening to a sermon that was about, and it was heavy. And it was something that I've never really heard another pastor or another church talk about, but it was, he literally was standing on the stage using all these condiments and all of these Debbie snacks, and he was just throwing it at the stadium, like at the pulpit, mm-hmm. at the stadium. And he was like, y'all are about to fight me for what I'm throwing in God's temple right now. But do you do the same thing when you put that garbage into your body? Do you, because that's, you're housing the Holy Spirit. Do you feel that same way? And it was all about, it wasn't about image. It was all about a lot of the verses that I use, like I think it's like 2 Corinthians 12. No, that's the grace one. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. The one where it talks about, your body is not your own. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm terrible at quoting it off the top of my head.
Me
I'm
too.
So
you
sorry.
Get that from
I got to
me.
Write it down.
You're welcome.
I know it, but I know it in my heart and in my head, but I don't know how to reference it right away. But it was talking about more so, we're so heart set on those scriptures not being about the physical, mm-hmm. concerning our health. Yes, they're not about our image. They are not. God loves us and loves our heart, knows our heart, and loves us. Like, he cares about that. Mm-hmm. Like when he was talking about King David, he was looking at King David and he was saying, we're choosing this one not because of what he looks like.
Choosing this little scrawny guy because of his heart.
Yeah. We're choosing this guy because of his heart, not because of what he looks like. But he doesn't care about the external. He cares about the internal. But that doesn't mean, like, he doesn't care about your actual cardiovascular system. like your actual heart, like the health part of, like, so the whole sermon was about that and it was so freaking good. Can you kind of tell me, like, what are your thoughts on it? Because a lot of people think this is crazy. When they first come across my socials or when they first connect with me, they're like, I don't get this faith fitness, like, combination. Like, how? Like, what is this about? Like, I don't understand it. And it's, like, such a foreign thing for us to look at our fitness as, like, a worshiping moment, or looking at our fitness as a way to honor the Lord because we're honoring our temple. Like, we separate it. Like, have you ever, before I started this ministry, like, were you ever thinking about it being something that was honoring to the Lord? Like, what is your mindset on that?
Yes. I almost feel like...
I fumbled over my words really bad, sorry.
I almost feel like when we honor our temple, when we take care of what God's graciously given us, it's like our actions are our thank you.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's worship in itself. Our actions are a thank you. Yes.
And, you know, when someone gives you a precious gift, if you think about the most precious gift you've ever been given by another human, from another human being, something precious that you've been given by another human, did you throw it on the ground and stomp on it, throw it in the garbage disposal, run it through a couple of times, leave it in the mud, you know, forget about it for 6 weeks? No. You cherish it. You care for it. You put it in a special place so you don't lose it. You make sure that if it's jewelry or something, you polish it, you clean it, you keep it safe. Why can't we look at ourselves as special and important as that gift? God has given us our fleshly self. If that's probably not the right way to say that, but He has put us here.
He's given us His body.
He's given us this body.
To do work for Him.
To do work for Him.
And we can't really step into our purpose.
Are you going to let me talk?
No.
Are you
just going to... I keep having thoughts.
Yeah.
We can't step into our purpose that He has for us to do His work if our body's not functioning at the proper level.
Exactly. So if you're not taking care of the gift, it's like something I used to say to you all the time when we were going through this whole struggle with your... Mm-hmm. You know, your disorder and your mm-hmm. insane amount of exercise and everything. It's like, you used to say, you know, I'm not skinny enough. Look at all this fat. Look at these cellulite lumps. And
I don't even know where that stemmed from, though.
You used to say that to me all the time. And I finally started saying to you, it's like you're standing in front of God and you're slapping Him in the face
mm-hmm.
and saying, you didn't do good enough.
Yeah.
It's like a shame on you, God. You got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we misuse or neglect or anything negative towards our bodies or our spirits and souls, our minds, anything, it's like slapping Jesus right in the face and saying, yeah, sorry, your dad didn't get it right. I mean, it's just... To me, it's almost a form of disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people who aren't of faith, who don't have a spiritual journey, who don't walk in a relationship with Jesus. I'm not talking about people who are religious. I'm talking about people who actually walk in a relationship.
We should probably do another one just on that in itself.
Walk in a relationship with Jesus. People who do not have that in their life are going to struggle to understand what the big deal is.
Mm-hmm.
Because to them, their body their body and they should be able to do whatever they want.
Yeah, and even believers that have been believers for years and Christians that have a relationship with Jesus that I've connected to, it's insane to me. They're like, it's like a light bulb moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, as soon as I put those two, the faith and fitness part together and it being worship, it's like my whole attitude changed on fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that are struggling to get up in the morning, some people that are struggling to just go out and walk during their lunch, some people that are struggling to put healthy, nutritious things in their body, it's like, they constantly are thinking, but this is worshiping my Lord. This is worshiping Jesus. This is connecting with Him. This is loving Him through what I'm doing with my body.
And if I blow it off, it's like I'm saying, yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And how can you? I mean, when you can, if you can envision yourself standing before God and making those kinds of statements, I can't. I can't imagine standing.
Like if He was right in front of
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Like I'm a visual learner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a visual consumer. So it's hard for me sometimes to like read it in a scripture or read it in a book. But if I can visualize, so literally I've had moments in my life when I've had to literally visualize standing in front of Jesus or, you know, and say, and saying, could I say to God, I really don't feel like exercising today. Sorry. I'm just not really going to take care of this. And
I'm too busy. Like yeah. saying that to the creator of the universe. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just too busy. So I don't have time for 30 minutes.
I'm sitting
today.
Here on the couch right now. I'm very comfortable in my fuzzy pajama pants. And I really don't feel like going and lifting
my dark
weights.
Chocolate and my glass of wine. I'd yeah. rather just sit here.
I'm sorry. You're just going to have to get over yourself, God, because this is about me tonight. Yeah. I can't, when I put myself in
that's
that position,
such a good visual.
It's like, oh no, yeah. I cannot do that.
One thing that I always used to think of too, when I was training for a half marathon and I just recently before my last surgery and I didn't want to go out on those long runs. I was like, oh, like, and I would think this is probably very like, very dramatic, me being dramatic. Can you imagine?
No, but very, not at all.
Very dramatic. But I literally would say to myself, this is hard, but what Jesus did was way harder.
Oh yeah.
This is hard.
That's the best.
But what Jesus did was way harder. Like, I can do this through him.
Like, when you make the statement, you know, you see it all over the place. I can do hard things, or we can do hard things. That's one of those moments where you think, okay, compared to what he endured and went through for me.
Yeah.
Not just because, but for me.
Yeah.
Knowing his entire life, that's why he was here.
Yeah.
I can do hard things.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so good. That's so good.
I can do hard things.
So we needed to wrap this up. We're probably going to have to do one or two more episodes.
We could like talk for hours.
We're going to have to wrap this up. But if you could give one piece of advice for people in like your age group with their fitness journey, what would be the biggest piece of advice you'd give them? If they're right now, they're your age right now. And they're like, I can't imagine working out. Like, I've never worked out I haven't worked out for years. I haven't been able to be healthy for years. Like, what piece of advice would you give them? Is it too late?
It's not too late. You're not too old. And it's your journey. You just have to decide how you're traveling through it and whether you're going to just be along for the ride or whether you're going to drive the car. You just have to make a choice.
Age is a number.
Age is a number. You're not too old. It's not too late. It doesn't matter if you've never exercised in your life. It doesn't matter if you've never eaten a broccoli or a salad.
Or you don't even like broccoli. Find a vegetable you do like.
But it's not, it's about starting. And it's not about perfection. Mm-hmm. And it's not about motivation. If you're waiting to be motivated, you will never do a ding dang thing. Mm-hmm. Because nobody ever feels motivated.
I'm a freak show when it comes to exercise and nutrition and all that stuff. Like, I love it all. I'm a health nut. And I am not motivated at 5:30 in the morning every morning to get in my Bible and freaking go move my body. I'm not motivated.
You can't wait until the motivation arrives because you don't need the motivation. You are the motivation. Care about yourself enough. Think highly enough about this gift, you, aka you, that God created. Have enough respect for it. Think highly enough of it to make your thank you mean something when you give it back to him.
That's good. That's really good. We could do a whole nother couple episodes, but I'm probably going to have her back. Unfortunately, you know, it's just a bummer. I have to have my mom back on the podcast.
Dang it. More time together. Ew.
But sister friend, if this spoke to you in any way, shape, or form, or you know of someone, or you have a mom or a sister or a grandma or whoever, like a coworker, and you would love to share this episode with them because you feel like it would be something that was so heartfelt, or even if you have a daughter that is struggling with body image, struggling with exercise, you know, disorder or any kind of eating disorders, like, and they're just struggling. Maybe you want to send this to them or listen to it with them. We would absolutely love if you just share this and get, because I think that the Lord wanted us to do this today for a reason. Like, there's someone out there that needs to hear what we just shared. And we would absolutely love to bless your life and let God bless your life through listening to this episode today and whatever he may have for you. But I will chat with you next week, and let's get it. Let's go.
Peace out.
Bye-bye.